This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Tuesday today and thank God I think we're having some much needed rain. I know my grass needs it. It was kind of brown.
A lot of brown out there.
I know.
The grass does need some love from up above.
The good thing, I didn't have to water my plants this morning, so I was kind of happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you got a day off for good behavior.
I got a day off.
Yeah.
That's like my big thing to do every day when I wake up. So anyway, so happy Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, and we've got some fun lined up today.
We do.
One thing, we're going to have your sister-in-law, Lori, in, who we spoke with from Spain on this really interesting awareness and fundraising walk of 500 miles that she did, which I told her yesterday. I said, I would like to do that. I don't know that I ever will, but that interests me.
It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, I chatted with her a little bit yesterday morning. She was, you know, talking a little bit about it. And just wait and hear what she has to say. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the people she met and, oh, my gosh. You know, it was pretty cool.
Definitely looking forward to hearing about
that.
In about 15 minutes, our friend Dan Sesney.
I'm getting nervous about this one.
Oh, I know why, too. Dan is one of the founding fathers, one of three, of the Hippo Press. He's no longer really active in the running and managing of the paper, but he is a travel writer, and He wrote the Nepal Chronicles. He married a woman who is from Nepal, and they just had their first child last December. So he is a later-in-life dad, and he's got great stories about that. But more so, what's his topic today?
Well, he's going to be doing a new segment with us called Bizarre Snacks.
Love that.
I do, too. Yeah. I really like it. And, yes, he's going to be bringing some samples in of hot pepper sauce tuna.
So that's I'm in for that. You like hot? Do you like tuna?
It just doesn't sound.
How about tuna and some warm milk? Some warm raw milk.
Yeah, right. And Black Boss coffee.
Now that's
coffee
a canned
in a
project.
Can. That's pretty cool.
You know, I stay away from, like, you see the bottled Starbucks in the store, and I'm thinking, you know, how good can that be? It's way too expensive.
Wicked expensive.
So, I mean, I don't buy that, and I don't think I would ever buy canned coffee. But I would try it if he's bringing it in.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll be trying it.
So, well, that goes with the territory, Carol, of doing the show.
I know.
You know, we get stuff in here that maybe is a little out of our comfort zone. Now, neither of those are for me. And I never had raw milk yesterday, and I have to tell you, because our friend Randy Clements brought it in. I thought it was good. Now, I like milk, so it would be tough for me not to like a dairy product. I just love dairy. So I see that Dan has arrived. He's got to. He does have a duffel bag of stuff.
Does.
So you will be eating stuff today, Carol.
He has his hot pepper sauce tuna coming in.
Here's the good news, though, because you've been working on lifestyle changes about eating. I think it's going to be very, very good for that. Not a lot of calories.
True. That is
so,
true. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
Last week, when Matt Preventure came in, that was not good, especially the bread. Oh, my goodness.
The bread is so good. And speaking of which, I went to the Foundry over the weekend with Barbara. They're inviting a select number of friends and family, as they call it, to come to the restaurant and eat, order whatever you want off the menu so they can get used to the systems before they open it up to the public. You went yesterday.
We went last night. And, you know, it's absolutely beautiful, first of all.
Yes.
The deck is so... Did you take a walk out on
the deck? I
didn't go
out to the deck, no.
Oh, my goodness. The deck is just really phenomenal. It's beautiful. And then, you know, when you're sitting on the side where the river is, oh, my gosh, it's very, very nice. And the furniture they have out there is really nice. And but, yes, we loved it. We sat at the bar, and everything was very good. The foie gras, which everybody knows that is like my thing. Oh my goodness. I've never seen it prepared like this. Matt is just it was seared foie gras on a foie gras flan.
See, that's
that
taking
weird?
It to the next level, isn't it?
It is.
Because flan is
so
kind of
good.
a custardy type of substance.
Yeah. And you know, when he came out, he delivered it to us. It was funny. He came and brought it out, and he's explaining it. When he said the foie gras flan, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you ruined it. Matt, you ruined it. I didn't say that to him. Thank God. But you know, when you take the bite of it with the foie gras, oh my gosh, it was to die for. It worked. It definitely worked. And
do you ever make it at home, or have you?
Foie gras? No.
Now, I know what it is, but I don't know how it's prepared. Is it just the actual goose liver, or is it, like, processed somehow?
No. I believe it comes, like, in, I know you have to slice it. So okay. It's, like, you know, kind of like medallions.
Yes.
A little bit like that. And mm-hmm. and you pretty much, I think, just sear it.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty expensive. It's expensive.
Sure. Right.
But I've never tried it at home. I never have.
Hmm. Maybe give it a shot.
Yeah, maybe. That might be an idea.
I don't know if you want to attempt the foie gras
flan.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, I know, right? No, I don't think I'd attempt that.
Now, did you guys sit at the bar? Because I know you like to do that.
We did. We sat at the bar.
And, beautiful bar, right?
It's gorgeous. Oh, my gosh. The bar is really, really nice. And, very
nice. Did you see the massive wall of wine? Did you get
Isn't
far enough in there?
Cool?
Yes.
Oh my God! And there's a table in there too that people can reserve and sit in there.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there's a table for six, I think, in there, and you know, it's a special reservation.
So it's probably people that love wine and will be sampling a flight of wine samples or whatever.
Pretty cool in the wine room. I thought that was pretty neat.
There are a couple of restaurants and casinos that I've been to that have. There's one in Las Vegas that has a three-story wine wall, like you just saw there, but you know, 30 feet high, and they actually have some woman dressed in an angel outfit with, like, wings.
Really?
And she rappels up the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
To get whatever, bottle
so
of wine.
So cool.
I mean, that's just typical Las Vegas. Everything is over the top and then some.
That is very cool.
So it was also the most expensive meal I've ever had. For Barb and I and everything, it was about $300. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
But I was working, 40 hours then, so I didn't think about that. But
right.
And then there's in Margaritas, Margaritaville, the
Jimmy
Buffett's place in Las Vegas. They have, as part of their over-the-top experience, they have a giant, probably 5 or 6 foot blender. No, it's actually a blender.
And
it's
it fills
a blender.
Up.
Yeah, and it's got all this, like, lime green, I'm sure it's not, margarita. It's just colored water. And then up above it is a mountain with a slide built into it. And once an hour, a couple times a night, there is a woman in a bathing suit who slides down into the blender and just goes around and around and around.
It's like, pretty cool.
It is.
I've seen that in one of the islands. They had it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool. And it fills up and empties. And it's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My niece is up there. Amelia went on the walk also.
Oh, she was in Italy, was she not? Or did she
do
the full
Lizzie.
One? Oh, that's Lizzie.
Okay. Lizzie will be here in October. Amelia is here now for a month. And she went. She lives in England.
Oh.
Or she's doing missionary work in England.
America's not good enough for her kids, huh?
I guess not.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to hear Lori's stories.
Yes.
I spent I had an incredibly busy weekend. Have you ever been to Zorbino's Vineyard? Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it, yes, but I've never been.
Very nice. It's it's less than 10 years old, and it's in Sandown, which is not terribly far from where I live. But a friend of mine, Josh Judge from Channel 9, got married Sunday at Zorbino's in the beautiful gazebo, and I was the officiant for that wedding.
Nice.
So I got to marry he and Diane in front of, half the crew from Channel 9 and lots of friends and family. And they have a really lovely function space. I mean, of course, you've got all the vineyards and the vines and everything
must
else.
Have been pretty.
Great for pictures. Yeah, the weather was fantastic, which you'd expect when there was three meteorologists in the audience, Of course it's going to be good.
They made sure of it.
But I hadn't been there for 5 years. And I was there in April, so it wasn't as beautiful. The flowers, fantastic. So it's a place to consider if you're ever looking for an alternative to, as more people are looking for other kind of interesting places to have their wedding ceremonies. They do have a function facility as part of that as well. Food was really good. It's a beautiful room. So
Do they serve like dinner regularly or is it just for events?
I think it's mostly events. I don't think it's typically, but I could be wrong and I don't want to misstate that.
Yeah.
But and then they have a little store downstairs which sells their products and their merchandise and the wine and all that stuff.
Kind of like LaBelle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quite as big or elaborate as LaBelle, but it's classy like LaBelle.
Nice.
Very, very nice. So just throwing that out for anybody that is looking for something a little
bit
different.
Maybe your wedding will be there.
Or your wedding. We'll see who gets married first.
Yeah, right. It'll be you.
So you say. I've been watching you, girl.
Oh, boy.
I'm only kidding.
Right. We need to go on break.
We don't have a food holiday
today? We do have a food holiday.
Get that out of the way.
It's kind of strange. It's National Raspberry Bomb Day.
What's that?
I have no idea.
It's probably a drink of some sort, maybe.
National Raspberry Balm Day. It doesn't say nothing about it. That's all it is. That's all it says.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, I love raspberry anything.
I like raspberries, too.
The raspberry cheesecake that Randy Clements brought last week.
Oh, you loved that.
That was fantastic. Yeah. It's awesome.
It was good.
He brings his cool stuff, and I think we're about to sample some other stuff we've never had before with Dan Szczesny, who's in the green room as we speak.
Stay tuned for Food for Thought and our brand new segment coming up. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Popcorn is really good.
I'll figure out how to make popcorn with it without it.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this rainy Tuesday. And let's welcome on our next guest. It's a new segment to Food for Thought. Dan Szczesny, travel writer, journalist, guide, and his new segment, Bizarre Snacks.
Thank you for having me. I'm really thrilled to be back.
Here. Yes, yeah. Very happy.
Is this going to be like Andrew Zimmerman, where he travels all over the world and eats stuff that you would just never...
Yes, only I'm going to make you eat them. Instead of me.
Oh, Carol, I'm sorry. This was my idea, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was your idea.
I know.
Just don't bring any bugs.
No live insects,
there
I promise.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
Do you have anything as we look down the road that involves like pulverized crickets?
Scorpions. Have you ever had a scorpion?
No, but I would try it.
Yeah, scorpions.
If Carol would.
My brother-in-law lives in Austin, and he's already mentioned that if we wanted to try scorpions, he'd send some up.
So how would they be prepared? I mean,
in a lollipop.
Oh, so oh, it's true.
I have seen that too.
It's true.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Talk about crunchy center.
But I think aren't scorpions an aphrodisiac?
Are they?
No.
Well, I think it gets the adrenaline pumping so much when you're about to eat a scorpion that maybe it is. Yeah.
So it's like a Tootsie Roll pop, but instead of chocolate in the middle, you've got a
scorpion,
a venomous insect.
Sure.
Yeah. It's not an insect. What is it? What category does it fall into?
An anacrid.
Yeah, like a spider.
Yeah. Yeah. I do food, Mike. I don't know anything about bugs. I just eat them.
Carol's got a look on her face. She says, "What have I gotten myself into?" She didn't know that about me when she invited me to join her back in March.
I just can't fathom that. I don't know.
Do you ever watch those shows, Carol, where the guys?
Yeah.
And it's sometimes difficult to watch.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, Andrew Zimmerman, right? His show is actually called Zimmer.
I think it is Zimmer. Well, now he's got a new show where he just goes to like really nice places, but it's still called whatever Andrew Zimmer's World Adventure, high end food eating or something like. Okay, he told his agent, "Look, I'm done with this crap. I'm not eating any more scorpions and lollipops. Take me to Paris for some real good food." And that's what he's doing now. And I don't want to watch it because
how boring is that? Yeah.
It is. I'd rather watch Anthony Bourdain go around sitting in a drunken stupor eating with the local natives and swearing his head off. They have to bleep every fourth word. I don't know if you ever watched that show.
All you hear is beeps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole point.
It's great TV, though.
And that's sort of the point of travel, isn't it? I mean, that's what last time I was here. This is what we talked about. I mean, the idea of going, of traveling and going anywhere, even London, even a first world city, and eating at a McDonald's is horrible. Why would you do that? Travel has to be part, and local eating has to be part of the, should be part of the travel experience.
What got you interested in that? What about, I mean, just as you started writing in a travel genre, then you tried the food?
Yeah, no, I've always, there's a couple of things. I've always been interested in, I like food. I don't like making it so much, but I like eating it. So as you start traveling, there's two things happened at once. One is I started eating better and healthier, and that meant getting rid of the fried food and not going to the fast food places. So you have to start looking for other places and things to eat. And then when you're in another country, whether it's England or whether it's Nepal or wherever, you want to eat with the locals, right? You want to eat what the locals eat, because part of the travel experience is eating what the locals eat. And then I got married to an Asian woman. And then it was all downhill from there, or uphill, depending on how uphill, I guess, depending on how you're looking at it. Because, then I married into an Asian family, and, I will readily admit, I was eating a lot of American Western foods, and she started bringing home Asian foods, and I started eating them. And I realized how actually delicious they were. And there's all these different tastes and so forth. And part of the problem, not so much anymore, but part of the issue here in southern New Hampshire and in Manchester for a long, long time is that this stuff was tough to get a hold of. Manchester is not, you know, known as a sort of a high in the ethnic culinary, you know, bar. It's changing now, thankfully. But, you know, the fact that she was able to, she'd go to Boston, she'd come back with bags of stuff, and, you know, I'd be helping her, you know, put the groceries away, and I would say, What is this bizarre thing that you just
where does it go?
You know? And she would say, it's only bizarre to you. You know, this is not not bizarre to me or to my people or to Korea or to China.
All right, and so she, now I didn't realize that Nepal fits in the category of Asia,
yeah.
I guess.
See, I didn't either.
Yeah, it's kind of on the border there with like, what, Afghanistan or India?
Yeah,
or,
it's not Middle East, it's Asia.
Or Bangladesh or whatever. Yeah. So here's the question. Did you have a traditional wedding to her roots?
In Kathmandu.
Now, you got married in Kathmandu.
Yeah. Yes, we did. We actually, the wedding was rice and dal and curries and rice and it was, momos and, you know, the dumplings. Yeah. So it was all very traditional in Kathmandu. Here, you know, we also had to get married. We actually were married on top of Mount Lafayette with the justice, the priest, and the peace and the whole thing. So it wasn't practical to bring curry up to the top of Mount Lafayette. But but yes, and you know, I'm very happy eating, you know, her traditional food. I'd much rather eat that than a hamburger. Although I enjoy a good hamburger.
What did you have? What was the main course at your wedding reception
in Kathmandu?
Yes,
rice and dal, and all the whole bunch of curries. It's lentils. It's sort of like there's all a variety of different lentils that can make up dal. You can make it into a paste. It can be very sort of runny and or it can be very thick. I like it with a much thicker consistency. But then it's just a question of putting all the different spices on it. Dal itself is like a what I've learned is dal itself is like a very bland base. And then you can just put stuff in it to
kind
make
like
it
Mexican food in some ways, which is not
similar.
Spicy by nature.
By nature.
All right. So I was a wedding DJ for 15 years, and I did one wedding, my first and last, in Chinatown in Boston, at the Chow Chow restaurant. Actually, is what it was called. Yeah, because there's just tons of them down there.
Yeah.
And so the groom was Italian, and the bride was Chinese. And it was, and this is what they tell me, is typical, a 15-course meal for a traditional Chinese reception.
Mm-hmm.
And
15?
15. And several, not costumes, several changes, clothing changes for, you know, the bride, where she comes down in red, and then she'll come back in something else, which probably isn't new to you. But the very first course, I recall, was pickled jellyfish.
Ooh.
Look at Carol over there. Now, it was okay. It was like eating kind of translucent rubber bands, you know, in some kind of a bra. So it was okay. And then shark fin soup.
Mm-hmm.
And that was okay. That was fine.
Yeah.
But once I got to five, I said, I am not hungry for 8 more or 10 more courses.
That's crazy.
This is something that I've learned being in a Nepalese family.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a while to learn this. Is that when you go over for dinner, when you go over to someone's home, you have to pace yourself early on.
That's for sure.
because what you think is the main course is not the main, it's just a little snack or an appetizer, and then it just keeps coming and coming and coming. So you sort of nibble your way through the whole evening. But at first, I would, you know, a plate of 5 or 6 dumplings would be put, you know, in front of me, and I just eat them all.
Yeah.
And my wife would be like, "Nah, save some room." I'd be like, "Why? This is dinner. This is delicious." But you know, you have to. You learn after a while.
That's
I've learned.
Funny.
So here's the question: when you get married in Kathmandu, where the heck do you go for your honeymoon?
At New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire, right?
For our honeymoon, we trekked to Mount Everest Base Camp. And we lived for
what's the elevation there?
17,500 feet, approximately.
Which is almost 3 times the height of Mount Washington.
Yes. Yeah.
Put it in perspective.
Yeah. So we lived up in the Himalayas. We were unguided and unportered, which meant we carried our own gear. We didn't have any commercial trekking team with us.
Mm-hmm.
My wife knew the language. So we stayed in Sherpa tea houses and Sherpa homes, and we ate all the Sherpa food. And
How was the Sherpa food?
The best food that I'd ever eaten.
Seriously?
Easily. And it's unprocessed.
Right.
no additives or preservatives, low sodium, all comes out of the ground right behind the tea houses.
What's the protein, though? Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's because it's all beans. It's all rice and beans.
No animals or
chickens?
Yes,
but we stopped at a certain height. There was a moment in the trek where we were at about, because there's no electricity beyond 11 or 12,000 feet. So, The time that we saw a Sherpa porter carrying a whole side of what looked like a goat of meat on his back, which was sort of runny and red, and we stopped. Yeah. That's when we became vegetarian for the rest of the time. I'm sure it would have been fine, but you know, when you have to carry in the meat for a few days and there's no electricity, and you know, you're not sure.
No, but you're right about eating where the locals eat. Barb and I went to San Juan, Puerto Rico, first time a couple years ago. And you know, when you stay like in one of the resorts, you're just nowhere near where the natives are eating and where the locals are. So we found a place that a woman that has a business that she just takes people to, you know, it's like a 3-hour tour, but you go to the places that are local off the main commercial strip and you have what Puerto Rican people have for lunch.
Yeah.
You stop at three places. The last one is dessert, and it's the way to go if you can find something like that. It was like $100 for the two of us.
Yeah.
And like fish tacos and stuff that you're not going to get at you know, the Marriott on Montego Bay or whatever.
Well, we talked about this last time, right? The idea that, you know, wherever we go, we look for the hole in the wall.
Definitely.
You know? Because that's where you can get usually the inexpensive food, but also the local food or the regional food.
You want to eat like the locals. Yeah. You're right. I mean, to experience it all, and
So that's the. Did I last time I was here? Did I tell you the story about the Rome and the Pantheon? Did I tell you that story on the air?
I don't remember this.
I think what happened. So I was in Rome, and Rome, of course, architecture and 2,000-year-old city, and it's just a spectacular place. And the Pantheon is one of the oldest and most beautiful Roman buildings that still exist, and it's 2,000 years old. It has that gorgeous oculus that is used as a church and so forth. And it's a great big point for tourists, and it sits in a courtyard. And you come around this turn, and you go into the courtyard, and there's this glorious 2,000-year-old building from antiquity. Mm. And on the other side of the courtyard is a McDonald's.
Oh my gosh!
No, right? No.
And you stand there, and you go, wow. And a busy, packed McDonald's, because all of the Western tourists
who
were coming to see the Pantheon were eating.
Oh, I know the Golden Arches.
Right,
the most recognized logo in the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I just shook my head and thought, this is why you should eat local. You know, because just sitting in that courtyard eating a McDonald's hamburger, looking at the Pantheon, just seemed intrinsically
wrong. Do they have like Pope Happy Meals or anything like that?
No, no, that I would try that.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, they give you like a paper miter to put on your head.
You notice how I avoided making all sorts of potential jokes there?
Yeah, that's okay.
You're welcome.
I'll be the one to do that.
Okay.
All right. So back to Nepal and Kathmandu. You were telling us, I think it was off the air, that a fast food restaurant is now going to sully the landscape.
It did. There's a KFC in Nepal now. And what was funny is one of Mina's cousins, when we were going there, this was my first time in Kathmandu, and his idea, he wanted to show me around to make me feel comfortable in Kathmandu. So he was very excited about this fact. And he said, I'll take you to the KFC. We'll go to the KFC.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, no. I'm good. I appreciate it. But, you know, take me somewhere where you go. You know, that's what I wanted to do.
And is there much English-speaking presence in Kathmandu?
Yes. One of the things.
Since Americans refuse to learn any other language.
What I was just about to say is that in most other countries, English is a second language, or sometimes a first language. So yeah, there's quite a bit.
That's a second language for a lot of people in this country, which I hate to say.
And point taken.
That's not a slam at people, foreigners. It's a slam at people that grew up here that just don't speak it well.
Don't speak it. Yeah.
All right. So I put this off long enough for you, Carol. I try to get through the whole 20 minutes without making you happen to try any of this stuff. But Dan, what did you bring along for our first bizarre snack sample?
I brought, I want you to remember that these snacks are bizarre only to us.
That's true.
I was about to say only to Westerners, but it's pretty much bizarre only to Americans because, you know, Canada doesn't seem to have as much problem with things as with some foods as we do. So I brought something from Korea. I brought something from Japan. I brought a hot pepper sauce tuna from Korea. It is. I can see Mike is already laughing because he already looked at this earlier.
Yeah.
The company is Dongwon, Dongwon, mm-hmm. and it is from Seoul, Korea. It's interesting because, you know, our tuna is just the tuna.
Yes.
But in Korea, the tuna is more like beef stew. It has potatoes and carrots and onions and other things in it, along with the hot pepper sauce. Now, before...
Oh, that's interesting.
It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Is this the tuna now that Mina likes?
Like, oh, no. No.
I read it.
Yeah, no, Mina despises tuna.
She hates it. But that's why you found this. No, she still won't eat this one.
Okay. No, including this one. In fact, I write a column on my blog, and if anybody wants to read more about these foods that we're eating today, you can go to dansesney.com and read more about it.
Like, anybody's going to be able to spell that. You better
help them out.
Well,
actually, all you have to do is punch in bizarre foods and a bunch of Z's, and it'll come up.
and Google that, and it'll
come up.
Okay.
When we tried this, in fact, what I write in my thing here is that Mina took one sniff after opening the can and ran into the other room. After several minutes of pleading and knocking on the locked door, she agreed to take a bite, which was followed by furious hand gesticulating near her mouth, much spitting sounds, and other words best left unsaid. Yeah. So
I didn't read that last paragraph. Yeah.
Also, our cat, by the way, didn't like it. So that should give you some idea of what you are about to taste. But I liked it, though. I thought it was quite tasty.
Did you make sandwiches or crackers?
I did. I put it on crackers for you because it just seemed weird to me to open a can of tuna and just be like scooping mouthfuls.
Although I would do that.
We brought some coffee, canned coffee from Japan. It's called Black Boss Coffee. I like it a lot. It's made by the Santori Company. And Santori, what you might recognize from Lost in Translation. Bill Murray in Lost in Translation was doing the commercials from Santori.
Maybe about 10 years ago, I think.
I think it's like for a relaxing time at Santori time, something like that. That's that company. But what's interesting about Dongwon is that if you've eaten Starkist tuna, I assume, they own Starkist tuna.
They do?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I've seen Mitsubishi on like some tuna cans.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Starkist is owned by them and GNC, the health food company, they own that too. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's a gigantic corporation. But they make, and again, this is very popular, not at all bizarre in Korea.
Well, we should probably take a break first, right? And then we can come back and manja.
Okay, we'll do that. Stay tuned, Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Once again, this is Food for Thought. Carolyn Mike, 1247. Food for Thought brought to you by Healthy Solutions Spice Blends. Go to spiceblends.com. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com. And Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now Londonderry, featuring the drive-through redarrowdiner.com. And today we are dining on bizarre snacks. And we say, with all due respect to those whose, you know, pal is familiar with some of the things you're sharing with us today.
To those in Korea.
Exactly. Every other week you'll be here with a couple things you write about these foods on your blog. Mm-hmm. And how do they get to you again?
Some of them are actually available in Manchester. Believe it or not, the Market Basket on Elm Street now has a whole aisle of ethnic foods. Don't go to the Market Basket in Bedford. They don't carry any ethnic foods. But the one on Elm Street does. And so you can get some stuff there. And there's some Asian markets around town. But these that you're going to be eating today, I got from H Mart in Burlington, Mass. Okay. It's a Korean grocery store.
What is it again? Tell us for those just joining.
This is hot tuna with hot pepper sauce. It's a Korean company called Dongwon. And they have, it's not just the tuna, but it's almost like a stew. Isn't it good? Yeah.
Man.
And I put it on crackers for you guys.
It is spicy.
And it's very spicy, and it has potatoes and carrots and onions in it.
It looks stewy.
Exactly. It's almost like a chunky soup or something.
Typically,
like that.
Tuna's got kind of a tan color. This looks like it could be
It's almost marinara-ish, too, some of the sauce.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I love it.
That is really good.
Mm-hmm. I told you. Yeah, see? It's delicious. It's not cheap. It's like about $2 for a tin, which, you know, compared to regular tuna is pretty expensive. And it's very high in sodium.
How many milligrams?
It's got a bite in there, too.
340 for one tin. So that's a lot. But well, it's good.
It is, but it's not horrible.
Calories are, let's see, what are the calories? What are we talking about here? 70, that's it. And fat calories are 20, so it's not
bad. That, is that a 5-ounce serving? Because typically that's what tuna cans are.
This is a 2-ounce. This is a 2-ounce.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it says.
No.
But, you know, maybe.
Well, no, 2-ounce
serving. No, it's 5.3 ounces is the total.
Oh, the total. I'm sorry. Yeah,
not the serving.
2 ounces per serving.
Yeah. All right, so then basically you've got 2.5 servings in here. Okay.
But, you know, we could eat that in the whole thing in 3 spoonfuls.
That is, I really like that. You say you can get this at some of the market baskets as well.
You could
or a similar project.
Similar to that. Yeah, you can find similar stuff here at the market basket. In between here and my next show, I'm actually going to go down to market basket. I'm going to get a little, everything that I get next time around is going to be from market basket on Elm Street.
Okay,
everybody can get it. But H Mart's only 45 minutes away, and you can go get it online and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of places you can get it.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
I know.
Isn't it delicious?
I do. I like it.
There is a little bit of hint of tuna in there, but it's not dominant at all.
No.
And I love tuna.
And I have pictures of it up on my website, cool. And you can go and read more about the company and all that good
great.
Stuff.
Great. I really like that. Thank you. Now, what else did you bring along?
To wash it down, I brought something called Black Boss Coffee. It's it's canned coffee. It's iced. It's from Japan. And if anyone here has seen Lost in Translation, that scene where Bill Murray is filming a commercial for Suntory whiskey, that's the company that makes this, Black Boss Coffee.
All right.
They're very big. They make all sorts of pretty much anything canned in Japan is made by Suntory.
Carol.
Cheers.
You can get this in vending machines on the street. It's everywhere you go. I like it a lot. It's very creamy and has a really good dark taste to it.
It is not timid tasting.
No, it is not. That's why they call it Black Boss, my friend. Tommy Lee Jones is currently their current spokesman for Black Boss
now,
Coffee.
Now, do people, I mean, like, I don't drink coffee anymore, but would people, like, add stuff to it?
No, this is, you leave your house in the morning on your way to work in Tokyo, and there's a vending machine outside your hotel, outside your apartment, and you get yourself a tin of coffee.
Cool.
On the way out. Yeah, coffee is very popular.
Right, how much for this? This is what, 8 ounces?
Again,
right?
That's 2.25 for 8 ounces.
$2.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's cheaper than Starbucks
for
8 ounces.
I mean, is it also, I mean, because it's caffeine, it must be sort of like an energy drink?
Yeah.
I mean,
the funny thing about Suntory is none of this is in English. But I did actually. I managed to look up some numbers here. Let's see.
In English on this back panel is the website.
Yep, you can just go
s-boss.com. Everything else though is in their script.
Yeah,
and this is what nation again? Korea?
That's Japan.
Japan.
That's a Japanese drink. Yeah.
All right.
And the only other English on the can says original espresso and drip method.
Yes,
I have no clue what what that is, but you know, maybe it's what makes it dark. You know, gives it that sort of creamy texture.
It is good. It is a little different, but I like it. I think you said richer, and I think that's how I would describe it too.
And they have Suntory does a whole series. In fact, they have collectible cans. There's dozens and dozens of different types of coffee that you can get.
You get this in Burlington as well?
I got that one at H Mart as well. Yeah.
Have you seen it in any local
this,
stores?
This I have not seen in any local stores, but I'll look for you for next
year.
Yeah,
time. There's so much coffee competition. You kind of wonder if people are going to spend $2.
Where they have some funky stuff like this too is Fresh Market.
Oh yeah, Fresh Market
in Bedford.
In Bedford, yeah.
You know, sometimes they have like different kind of stuff like that. I could actually see that there. I wonder.
Yeah.
But
anyway. I drink iced coffee, so I'm going to pour the rest of this in here.
see what
because it's kind of been diluting.
Yeah. There you go.
Since I made it at home.
Yeah, not a lot of people like iced coffee. You know, they just prefer it hot at all times. But this is it's a good little on your way to work type of thing if you're willing to spend a couple bucks. Although I'm not sure if it's 2.25.
Would you drink
in Japan?
Be consumed at room temperature or would you keep it in the fridge?
I kept it in the fridge. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah,
so it is
room temperature. It's like warm. You don't want
Because it's kind of warm.
You either want hot coffee or iced coffee.
Yeah.
You don't want.
Exactly.
You don't want it in between.
Now, I want to ask you about these crackers, cream crackers.
Yes.
I've never seen that before.
I was afraid you were going to ask me that.
Why?
I like them.
Yeah, my wife got them from, I don't know where she got them from. I think she got them from Chicago when her parents were here visiting, and they brought us a whole package of these cream crackers. They're huge.
Almost 2 inches square, I would say.
Yeah, and they're pretty tasty, but I'll be darned if I... On the way here, I actually thought, oh, no, what if they ask me about the cream crackers?
Well, I've never seen them. And, you know, it says cream cracker HSB.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Maybe if my wife is listening, she'll text me right now and tell me what these cream crackers are all about.
Mina, that's a hint.
Yeah. But they're good too, aren't they?
They are. I like them. They're different.
Well, the segment is over already. And
darn it. It goes by fast.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You had some great stories to share. And folks be able to hear this up on podcast within a week or so. Friends that perhaps in Kathmandu, they can hear it.
Absolutely. Anybody can hear it. And next week, in two weeks, I'll come back with some Market Basket stuff.
Okay.
There you go. Good.
Right. Terrific. Thank you, Dan Sesney.
You're very welcome.
Thank you very much. Up next, my sister-in-law, Lori Lawrence, going to be talking about her Camino walk. We'll be right back.